Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I am Mike Spofford, and today I am joined by a special guest, Larry McCarron, the one and only. My trusted colleague, Wes Hodkowitz, is off today enjoying the birth of his first child, so congratulations to the Hodkowitz family. But great to have Larry joining us. Thanks for stepping in today, Larry.
Glad to do it, and certainly congratulations on Biff Jr.
Yeah, absolutely. Biff Jr., I like that. Okay. Well, Larry, the Packers lose on Sunday at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, 31-24 in Aaron Rodgers' return after missing seven games with the broken collarbone. And I know a lot of things went wrong in this game, but I tell you what, when the Packers recovered that onside kick there late in the fourth quarter, I really thought we were in for another storybook ending in a third straight overtime game.
Yeah, that thought crossed my mind as well, Mike, and I think it says a lot about the team in the sense that normally you turn the ball over four times and have zero takeaways of your own. You lose that battle 4-0. Normally that game isn't even close.
Right.
And somehow, some way, and it's part of the Packers' DNA, I think, is to hang in there, show a lot of grit, and somehow, some way, it's a one-play game. At the end, it's a one-play game when Geronimo Allison fumbled. So that's a real good football team. They were facing Carolina Panthers, got a lot of respect for them. And anybody that expected Aaron Rodgers to not have any rust or is surprised that there was some rust is dreaming.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only human. It was 9 weeks since he saw the speed of the game. Practice is one thing,
Mike, right?
But
right.
The speed of the game, it's warp speed. And 9 weeks later, and he did a ton of good things. Hey, it's too bad that the Packers lost, but there were good things. There were things to be encouraged about.
Yeah, and I tell you, with when the Packers had the back-to-back sacks there midway through the fourth quarter, turned the ball over on downs, it really looked like it was all over. 31-17, Carolina gets the ball back, and it's like, all right, this is it. And, you know, the defense gets the ball back. Rodgers takes him right down the field, throws a beautiful touchdown pass to Richard Rodgers there deep over the middle. And then I'm not sure what kind of English Mason Crosby put on that onside kick, but Christian McCaffrey was unable to get it. Marwin Evans, the Milwaukee native and backup safety, gets it for the Packers. And then, as you mentioned, the slant pass to Geronimo Allison. The Packers are going to be within 30 yards of that game-tying touchdown, Larry. And unfortunately, the ball gets popped out of Allison's arms. I know Mike McCarthy said after the game he thought that replay was going to go their way and it might be called incomplete. He didn't quite have control of it. But just absolutely no quit in this Packers team. It's tough to see now 7-7. The playoff hopes are completely on life support, obviously. But a heck of an effort against a Carolina team that I think is going to make some noise in the NFC playoffs.
The thing you mentioned that really jumped out at me was the touchdown to Richard Rodgers, because it was classic Aaron Rodgers in the sense that somehow, some way, he got the Carolina Panthers not ready.
Yeah.
When you look at that thing on the end zone tape, the Carolina Panthers are still discussing how to line up when the ball is snapped. And it's, again, Aaron Rodgers just being a step ahead of the competition. And you mentioned the onside kick. It all starts with Mason. And over the years, he has had a knack of placing that ball, the English, the spin, the location. So it just makes it difficult for the opposition to handle, and Marwin Evans, Johnny on the spot. And you're right. When it got to the point in the game before these things had occurred, before the Richard Rodgers touchdown and before the onside kick, I'm thinking, well, this is toast. Gave it a good shot, and
yeah,
we're all through. And all of a sudden, it's a one-score game, which makes it a one-play game. But Carolina Panthers, they made the play. They forced that fumble. It wasn't a drop. They forced the fumble.
Yep.
And so they made the play, and on they go.
Yeah, and just for the fans who are wondering, the Packers, at this point, at the time we're taping this episode, the Packers' playoff hopes mathematically not completely eliminated, but if the Atlanta Falcons were to win on Monday night, the Packers would be eliminated. In order for Green Bay to still get in the playoffs, the Falcons have to lose three games, the Packers have to win twice, the Seahawks and the Cowboys both have to lose a game. So there's all kinds of crazy things that
are
have
Seahawks
to
still
that have
alive
to happen.
After the way they got pasted this weekend.
I think mathematically they're still alive, but
no,
they're about on the same.
I saw that final. I thought, wow.
Yeah,
what
I know.
Happened?
Yeah, the plane landed, and I looked at the scores, and you won, and in Seattle at CenturyLink Field, that kind of thing just doesn't happen out there.
You wonder what's going on internally with that team.
Yeah,
that was like outrageous.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, with that, we're going to toss it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, joined by my special guest, Larry McCarron, over there. Larry, looking at Aaron Rodgers' performance here in his first game back from the broken collarbone, we touched on it in the first segment. I think we saw a mixture of some classic Aaron Rodgers football and obviously some rust and some uncharacteristic Aaron Rodgers plays. His two touchdown passes in the first half, the one to Davante Adams, just a quick hitter and one of those where the Panthers looked like they had no chance. And then the scramble and the flip to Randall Cobb where he dodges tacklers and gets down and scores a touchdown, gives the Packers the lead 14-10 at halftime. Aaron Rodgers was still making some plays out there.
Oh, absolutely. Aaron Rodgers, as the game progressed, I remember saying this during the radio broadcast, if you wondered if Aaron Rodgers was going to change his game, don't.
Yeah.
This game is the same. His bouncing around the pocket, his willingness to pull it down and run for a first down, his finding people when the play breaks down. Option A is not there, option B not there, play breaking down, Aaron starts running and bang, he finds somebody like he found Randall Cobb. And I want to tell you, I have to mention in case we don't mention it, Randall Cobb getting over the end zone, getting over the goal line rather, that was a remarkable move to beat two Carolina Panthers. That's what he did.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the Davante Adams touchdown. That was the case of the Carolina Panthers. It's amazing what happens. Guys screw up, and they kind of left Davante Adams alone. He was in the slot on the right side, kind of left him alone and stayed off him. And Aaron Rodgers and Davante took advantage. But no, Aaron Rodgers, yeah, you mentioned the rust, but the interceptions, when I looked at it, it was cases where Aaron really couldn't step it into throws because people say, well, yeah, it was underthrown. At least two and possibly all three cases where he really couldn't step into the throw because of traffic around him or the situation. So it's understandable that the balls were short in those decisions. And under the threat of real bullets, it takes a while to get used to those things. And like we said earlier, it's been 9 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. And with Rodgers, his first three interception game, unfortunately, since 2009 down in Tampa Bay, which tells you the type of career
this
guy's
had. You know what's
funny
about that,
8 years, Larry, 8 years.
You know what's funny about that is that prior to the game, people were talking about the rust factor. I mean, you know, he's going to be rusty. He's going to be rusty. But you know what? Okay, so what are you going to do? Sit him?
Yeah.
I mean, what are our choices here?
Yeah.
I mean, of course you're going to put him out there because Aaron Rodgers rusty is better than the rest of the world razor sharp. So, but I got a kick out of all the conversation. You heard it.
Yeah.
It was written all over the place. Aaron's going to be rusty. Well, okay.
So what
are we going to do?
With it.
Stay at home till next week. The only way to get unrusty is to play.
Is to play. Yeah, absolutely. And I think if there's one pass that Rodgers would like to have back, and he talked about a lot of them that he felt he missed that he would like to have back, but I think the one deep over the middle to Randall Cobb that got picked off, that was the one because we've seen Aaron Rodgers make that play many times. He makes it look easy. It probably would have been a touchdown and just a little bit underthrown, and it gets snagged there by the defensive back. And those are the type of plays. When I thought about it, I thought about the game afterwards a lot. And even the third interception that was kind of on a scramble trying to go deep to Nelson down the sideline, and that one gets underthrown. We've seen Aaron Rodgers make this game look so easy. And when it's not so easy, you have to sit back and just appreciate how good the guy is when he's on top of his game.
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned the throw to Nelson, but like as Aaron was on the move again, And I mentioned about stepping into throws. He was getting very close to the line of scrimmage. And, you know, his microprocessor going at warp speed. He's getting very close to the line of scrimmage. So he really couldn't just yank. He had to taper back his footwork, you know, as far as I mentioned, the stepping into it. He's getting close to the line of scrimmage. So, like, rather than step into the thing and really, you know, put some air underneath it, he had to kind of pull up and couldn't step into that throw and
that's an
and
interesting put it up observation. There.
Yeah, yeah, check it out when you, you know, you get
will
a chance
definitely
to look,
take
it, check
a look
it
at
out.
That.
But I think he was aware of the yard marker.
Okay.
And that's Aaron Rodgers. But like I said, you know, this talk, I mean, Aaron Rodgers hasn't played in 9 weeks. He'll be rusty, but let's not play him. Give me a break.
Yeah.
He still had the Packers within one play against a real good football team.
Yeah, against a really good team. And you mentioned earlier, Rodgers was going to play his game. He didn't shy away from scrambling and running and taking off. Even on a fourth down call in the third quarter, he even called his own number, a little read option keeper, and took off. He played it safe and you know, got the first down and took the slide. But he didn't change how he played at all. And to me, that speaks to the fearlessness that he always plays the game with. He's never going to hold back.
No, one thing I've really enjoyed about Aaron's career is he is famous for putting up crazy numbers as far as quarterback rating and so forth.
Yeah.
And to protect those, I think lesser players would play careful because you throw a pick, it affects your numbers and things like that. But Aaron, while he plays a very precise game, he doesn't play a careful game. He'll fit it into tight windows.
Yep.
And even when it comes to using his legs and his feet and running and so forth, he doesn't play a careful game and never has, despite that now he's got the best in the world reputation to protect. And I think that says a lot about the guy as far as his commitment to the team. It's not about him. He's do whatever it takes to help the Green Bay Packers win.
Yeah, and you could see the disappointment on his face after the game that the Packers aren't. He wasn't able to keep the season alive. He puts a lot of it on himself. It certainly doesn't all fall on his shoulders, and certainly his surgically repaired shoulder. But the guy, you know, he really worked hard to get back to this moment, and unfortunately, it just didn't work out.
No, I think Aaron Rodgers did everything he could do. I mean, like, okay, he's a little rusty. Fine, give him. However, I think he still makes everybody else better. The Packers went to Carolina. Now, that's a situation, let's face it, the Packers have not been playing collectively all that well. Yeah, we won some games in overtime. However, not against, you know, upper echelon opponents.
Right.
And so once Aaron comes back, suddenly the team collectively playing a little better and going to Carolina. They're on a roll now. They're getting that late season good team boost right now. They're on a roll. And yet the Packers took them to within a play.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. With that, we're going to toss it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by my special guest, Larry McCarron. And Larry, we ended the last segment talking a little bit about this Carolina Panthers team. And they look like they're headed to the playoffs, certainly. They're still in the mix for the NFC South Championship. And when you look at what that offense did yesterday, the way they used Christian McCaffrey right out of the gate, the opening possession he had, I think 60 total yards from scrimmage out of that 85-yard touchdown drive. And then they start working Greg Olsen, their Pro Bowl tight end, back into the mix after he'd been off for a couple of months.
He had four catches all year, and he had, like, what, nine?
Nine, yeah. Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah, but this offense looks like it's hitting its stride at the right time, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. They can attack you in so many different ways. Okay, they've got the whole option, the read option, zone read, whatever you want to call it. They've got that whole series. Okay, so that's a threat with McCaffrey and Newton. That's a threat. Then they run a really respectable – they got a good front, good offensive – actually, they have a good defensive front too. Good offensive front, and they run gap power stuff, and they run it really well.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll block folks. They do that kind of thing. And then you add the element of Cam Newton – just being able to run. That's another thing you have to worry about as a defense. And then you add the fact that Newton, he is not the most consistent of passers, but he can make all the throws. I mean, his accuracy isn't a every day, every play kind of thing, but he can make. His arm's big enough to make all the throws. And you combine all those elements, you got a handful to defend defensively.
Yeah, when I look at the way this game evolved on Sunday, Packers, first couple of possessions, the Panthers drive down, they get a touchdown, they get a field goal. Then it seemed like the Packers' defense was settling in a little bit. As I said, the Packers took a 14-10 lead at halftime. But through that first half, we didn't see Cam Newton run the ball a whole lot. He maybe had a scramble here or there. Then in the second half, just when the defense is starting to settle in, then they come at you with Newton, the designed runs, the read option, the quarterback draws. It gives you this whole other thing you have to defend. And then they start, you know, flaring out the tight end, and McCaffrey is still getting involved even after the big drive at the start of the game. This is a multifaceted offense, whatever you want to call it, and I think these guys can do some damage in the postseason.
Oh, I would agree. I don't think now that Carson Wentz is hurt. Okay, I don't think there's that one dominating team that everybody's chasing right now.
Yeah.
I may be wrong because generally speaking, I pay attention to the Packers and who they're playing, but and that's the truth. But just, you know, just kind of from what I see and what I hear and what I've read and so forth, and looking at tape over the year, depending on who the Packers are playing, the Eagles, they seem to be a cut above everybody for a while. But without their guy, you know, we'll see how that goes. But
yeah.
I totally agree with you. The Carolina Panthers, they've got the potential to be a force to be reckoned with down the stretch here.
Yeah, and you mentioned that defensive front they have. We saw an old friend, Julius Peppers, get in on a sack of Aaron Rodgers there in the fourth quarter. This is a defensive front. They make it tough to run the football. I know the Packers were able to bust a couple of runs with Aaron Jones, kind of off some checks at the line of scrimmage, it looked like, where the Packers just caught him in a certain look. But this defensive front, they're tough customers. And then when you add in the fact that, you know, the play their cornerback made at the end of the game, punching the ball out and getting a big turnover, that secondary hasn't gotten a lot of praise this year. Most of the praise for that Carolina defense has been up front, but that secondary can make some plays.
Yes, I mean, if you're a secondary, and now the going into the game, the Panthers, kind of their surprising Achilles heel was the fact they don't take the ball. For a good defense, they don't take the ball away early. I think they had 14 turnovers or takeaways going into the Packers game.
Yeah.
7-7. 7 fumbles recovered, 7 interceptions, and just a couple by their cornerbacks. Well, they managed to get 4 takeaways against the Green Bay Packers and intercept Aaron Rodgers 3 times. And that's what kind of happens. The teams that have a chance to go the full route, they kind of pick up steam, for lack of a better phrase, they kind of get hot.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we saw with the Green Bay Packers in 2010, all of a sudden the Green Bay Packers, wow, you know, we're just getting better and better week by week. And the Carolina Panthers may be experiencing that. But when you talk about their front, you talk about some real deal guys. And right behind them, Thomas Davis. Everybody talks about Kuechly, but Thomas Davis, Luke Kuechly, they may be the 2 best inside backers in the game right now, and they're both on the same team.
Yeah.
And then with a formidable defensive line in front of them, there's a lot of reasons to like the Carolina Panthers as we go into serious football time here.
Yeah, they're a tough bunch. Before we go to a break, though, Larry, let's take care of some sponsor business. Picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. 2 pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/best seats. Cousin Sub's We Believe in Better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by special guest Larry McCarron. And Larry, quickly before we go, I wanted to ask you about the hit we saw that Davante Adams took from Panthers linebacker Thomas Davis on a Carolina interception return, a wicked helmet-to-helmet shot. It was a blindside block, flagged illegally for 15 yards. And it's one of those plays that's going to have more people discussing whether the NFL should look at going to a targeting rule like they have in the NCAA, where they can immediately eject players from a game after reviewing on replay a hit like that. What are your thoughts about where this is headed?
I don't think there's any question that the NFL is headed in that direction. That's the climate today, and it would be the kind of punishment that really gets people's attention.
Yeah,
you take away their game. I think that would hit people more than you take away some money. And so I think there's no question that's the way the NFL is headed. But I don't think Thomas Davis is a dirty player. I think it's one of those situations. In my day, those kind of hits were encouraged. There would be hooping and hollering in the film room.
Sure.
Because you knock somebody's block off. And as I know that sounds terrible, but that was a culture. Today, it is a different culture, and we're heading that direction. And great, great. Less people getting carted off the field and less people suffering concussions and all that kind of stuff. But at one time, that was condoned and, matter of fact, encouraged.
Yeah, and we certainly wish the best for Davante Adams. He came back very quickly. He's come back a couple of times in his career over the last couple of seasons from hits like that. And with regards to Thomas Davis, he was fined earlier in the season for an illegal hit. He's possibly facing a suspension here. But we've got to call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find me at Mike Spofford. Larry's not interested in Twitter, but you can still find Wes at Wes Hodd. With that, thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.